I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ready to go?
Yeah.
No swearing.
Yes. Okay. No, none.
And be careful about interrupting.
The part was pretty good. That part was really good. I think we should almost keep that. That was funny.
Oh, I'll have
Can
to
you
edit
it somehow?
Yeah, I'll
do
just
magic.
Put you on mute.
Okay.
You know how often I did that in the first episode?
I noticed you did.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
I noticed you did to stop the interruptions. But what's funny is, can you do that for the whole episode for Mark?
Oh, yeah, great. Because I don't feel like a third wheel already. Thanks. There's a rat called Rattus. He's the leader of the bunch. A cat called Modigliana. She's fluffy, but she's tough. Darren, he's a dopey dog. Lixie's a muddled up, mixed up bunny.
Hello and welcome to the Ferals Podcast. I'm Monkey Boy and I'm joined by
Swinny
and Mike Harryhole.
Different name each time. I haven't asked people to do this so far, but it'd be awesome if you could send reviews into iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. It really helps the ranking of our show. You know, it's flying up the charts. You can give it 0 stars, 1 stars, 5 stars, whatever. I don't care.
No, you can't. Don't tell people to do that. Five or nothing.
Did you say charts or charts?
Charts.
I think you said
charts.
Well,
that's the way I say it.
Okay.
Charts.
Just double check.
It's my sunshine accent. And subscribe on feralspodcast.com or wherever you get your podcast. So that'd be really awesome.
Probably through some illegal channels, no
exactly.
doubt.
Exactly. Well, this is a 6th episode, and most podcasts don't last to 6 episodes. So one more, and we're killing
wow.
it.
Well, you know, you know that give it 12 months, and we'll be on the top of the pirated most pirated podcast list.
I think that's everyone's dream, isn't it?
Or, of course. Like, you know, we don't want to make any money from this, so we've got to have a goal somewhere.
Only exactly. lose money. So this is episode 6, happy birthday. No surprises about what the show is about. It's about someone's birthday, Lenny, a good old friend Lenny. I just want to say one thing. It's not in a rundown, but he was like tinkering with a machine early in the episode, and I was getting excited. I saw the machine that he was like tinkering with, and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. This is awesome. But it did not feature.
Is it just before or after they...
It did not feature in like the episode. Like he was tinkering around with it, and that was the end. It was so disappointing.
Well,
wait, was this before or after they detonate the nuclear bomb and get chased by the police?
That was the FBI, actually.
Did I watch the wrong episode this week?
I hope so. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Oh my god, I watched the wrong episode.
Now, a question about that actually with Leonard tinkering. Now, is he a scientist or an engineer? I don't know the breakdown exactly. I'm sure there's different kinds of scientists, but don't they tend to work on, you know, they don't work on machines and inventions? That's more like an engineer, isn't it?
Well, he's kind of like an old school.
Well, Tesla worked on stuff.
Yeah, old school scientist, definitely, but he's not
inventor.
A scientist. Like, there's a scene in this show where he's listening to an astrologer, and then he's actually kind of almost communicating with the TV as if it's talking back to him. So
yes.
He's not a scientist.
But didn't they say, isn't he a science student though?
Yeah. He's studying physics.
So
it's sad how much I know about the show.
Ah, physics.
I think
we can't be 100%
rational.
I think
he said theoretical physics as well, just to sort of, you know, make it more extreme. So yeah, the episode opens up with the Ferrells sleeping as they do, and Joe comes in asking them to pay rent. Now, this is like the sixth episode, and I think we all agree that it feels like it's a year in their time frame. I don't know. And now he's just asked, he's thought, oh, now I'm going to ask them to pay rent. Like, was this an option before?
I love how he walks in with the glasses and just like, shoo, it's almost like a...
Did you see how well...
CSI style, you know, reversed.
How well was the music timed? It reminded me of Mad Max Fury Road, which was basically an opera with...
Spoiler alert. If you watch it. I haven't even seen this movie.
So. I didn't spoil anything about it. All I'm saying is when you watch it, think of it more as an opera with visual elements to it.
Did it have puppets? It's
fantastic. May have.
Just, all right. I know it's got the Australian...
I don't want to spoil anything. I'm not allowed.
I know it's got the Australian nature, but if the Ferrells make a cameo in it, then... give it the Academy Award.
I wish they did.
Give it,
that'd be
give
awesome.
It the best movie ever award.
That would be awesome.
I one, can say
one
no
thing
more.
I should warn you guys and the listeners, the three out there. Or is it four this week? Maybe they've increased by one.
I think it's four now. Four and a half. One of them is
got a I think bit of an identity crisis. I think we've lost one due to Mike's profanity.
Hey, piss off! It's not my fault.
Rack off.
So yeah, a word of warning. I've hooked this contraption up, so now I can play samples. So we're going to start playing samples of the episode. This might mean that we need to re-record the first five episodes again. That'd be fun.
Are you playing the samples through the digital sample machine?
Unfortunately, I wish it was named that. It's called Audio Hijack. I wish it was called Digital Audio Hijack. Actually, it's fitting. Unlike Lenny's stuff, it's literally fitting to say Digital Audio Hijack. That's what I'm doing.
Well, it's not funny then.
I know. So Joe gets them to you know, want to pay rent. Well, he says he wants them to pay rent, but then he says, oh, you got to fix my house up because I'm going away.
Well, it's because they can't pay.
Well, but is that...
So he goes, well, fine then, right? You have to fix it
like,
up.
Like, he jumps to the point of, like, yeah. you can't pay me, so... I'm going to get you to work, right?
Well, he knows. He knows. Well, how are they going to pay? They have no income.
Exactly.
Suddenly.
So,
I love Radis. As the duly appointed union representative. This is such an Australian show. I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I guess, because, you know, other countries obviously have their own unions and stuff like that, but Australian unions have a special place in Australia. Like, one of our whole... political parties is founded on unions and it's still trying to shake off that tag.
One of our two major political parties. It's not just a political party.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The political party that was in power like
for 6 years.
2 years ago.
Yes, yeah, for 6 years up to about 2 years ago. Now there's a new mob in town.
Now just look up Kevin 07. There you go. That tells you all you need to know about the unions.
This is true. This is tying it all in together because in the first episode, we're talking about budgie smugglers. And in the show notes, I've got our Prime Minister in Budgie Smugglers. So our current Prime Minister. So it all ties together. And obviously...
Do not Google that.
Well, the image is there. The image is there. They have to.
We warned you.
So, obviously, they're trying to think of a scam straight away. That's, you know, what they're going to try to teach the kids. You know, scam your way out of doing work, even if it's the first time you've ever done work. And this is going to be the first sample that I play. Then they're trying to find someone else to do the work for them.
What we need is someone dumb enough.
Hi, guys.
Robbie!
Now, like, is Robbie supposed to be a dumb character? I don't actually think she's dumb.
No, but she tricks them.
In what way?
No, they're not saying that she's dumb.
Just dumb enough to take it on.
As in the show, and they're not pretending the Ferrells think she's dumb. I think they just like to show how horrible the Ferrells are. That's all.
That's true.
By saying, you know, Robbie's been nothing but good to them other than playing some pranks on them. And yet they're calling her dumb and they're calling Leonard... I think they say something about him after as well. That's right, like waste of a good party or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Lenny is becoming a very sad character
by the way,
in this show.
I know. Poor bastard.
both within the show and just us looking at him. It was really sad.
What are you-
hey, can I just quickly interject?
Where is that coming from?
No, I mean, like, I feel sad for him. Like, he's become such a, I don't know.
You said looking, like his physical appearance? Why?
Well, because within the show itself as well, yeah, he's like, he's really sad in this episode.
Oh, well,
like his whole demeanor is really...
I've got something to say about that later on the episode that might turn the tables a little bit for poor old Lenny.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's sad, but anyway, yeah, well, maybe we'll revisit it later. Go on.
Yeah, before we move on, the part where Retta says, you expect us to work... that's so Australian, isn't it?
I don't know about you guys, but it didn't really feel like much was happening in the show until about the 8 minute, 10 minute mark. Like, they're basically, they want to throw a surprise party for Lenny. And he finds out about it pretty early from talking to the TV. Who's like,
yeah,
it's
no.
Such a weird scene. I thought it was like a prank that they were pulling on him. That's how I was interpreting it. And then I'm like, oh, no, it's just bizarre.
Same.
Like, it didn't really make any sense. It was almost like they couldn't figure out a way that he could discover the party was going to be thrown for him. But, I mean, there's a million ways to discover it.
Well, no, they could have done it, but they did it in an interesting way. Because if you remember, the TV show, kind of the astrologer show or whatever, kind of directed
Crystal.
Him to a piece of paper
yeah.
that he then found. And that's when it said the guest list. So it was, to me, he could have just found the guest list, but they did it in an interesting, bizarre way, which I liked.
Okay.
And it was funny. I love what Crystal says.
Oh, about like his day. Apart from if they're having a birthday, then these special
yeah.
people. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was really weird.
And the planet Zogard moving through your sign for the first time in 5,000 years. Nothing exciting here for your Aquarian.
And then, yeah, it leads on to the ferals sort of trying to think of another scam. To not do any work. And what they... like, the amount of work that they do to get out of doing work. So they come up with counterfeit money. Counterfeit money. I mean, what kind of lessons are they teaching kids? It's insane. Having said that, I think I did make counterfeit money when I was about that age, but...
We did. Remember the certain fake ID that someone, I don't know who, someone, may have been me, may have been you, I don't know,
from,
made
wasn't,
with
wasn't,
your mum's ironing
yeah,
board?
It worked.
Wasn't that
and
the
it did.
University of California?
It was. It was. The University
one,
of California.
UCLA.
Got a certain someone through the first year of uni because they were only 17.
Have you still got it? God. Or have you thrown it out?
No. I don't know where it is. No.
If you can find that
I wish I kept it
in and put it up on our website.
Oh, it'd be awesome. It'd be awesome.
That would be the greatest thing ever.
We'll redact your face.
I'll look for it, but I doubt I have it.
Yeah, we'll block out your face.
Well, that's not for my protection. I think it's for the protection of anyone
exactly.
seeing it.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Now, by the way, just in the previous scene... Did you guys catch Lenny doing that, like, the singing in the rain heel
yes,
click?
Yes, yes.
He, like, jumps up in the air and clicks his heels. Now, every single time I try to do that, I just wreck myself. And, you know,
same.
I'm not a very agile guy, definitely not. But
I can vouch for
I
that.
Just hope...
Oh, that's putting it lightly.
I just hope that...
Sorry,
one...
no, no, putting it lightly is a bit of an oxymoron, isn't it, in this case?
Hey,
that's harsh, harsh but fair.
I'm not going to be winning any fitness competitions anytime soon. No,
God.
No, if I ever have some goal in my life that, you know, I can achieve physically, I want to be able to heel click like Gene Kelly.
Yeah, no, that.
I would have thought it's you want to be able to see your penis.
Hey, I've seen it plenty of times.
Instead of all
okay,
the other
sorry,
ones.
Sorry, I stopped.
Anyway. No, but like you're right, and this is the next kind of task that I want. Now I've got samples going. I want to be able to extract, you know, video out and turn it into GIFs. So, and that was one that I wanted because it's impossible to describe. You just have to see it, right?
Well,
like, so
there's a lot of websites that can do it easily.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I made a couple.
Because there's two that I wanted to do. It was that, and then there's a later scene. Like, it's actually the last scene before the credits. But we'll talk about that right at the end. But yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. I did notice that. But I don't know about you guys. Like, the first third of the show was, I don't know, it was kind of boring to me. Like,
I liked the part where they're acting really bad, as in, like, bad acting.
Yeah. So that's when,
to try to, it's pretty much where we're at the moment. They've got the counterfeit money. And I like the part where they're like, nobody wants to do the work for us. It can be paid a lot of money and things like that. And it just made me think of Monkey Boy, our idol, good old Tommy Wiseau. It just made it fit right perfectly in. Oh, hi, Mark.
He's like, oh, hi, Kylie and
Chip,
Keith.
Chip, 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 chip.
Bye-bye.
Oh, hi. Bye-bye, Ferrells.
Hello, doggy.
Okay, so for my benefit and the four listeners that we have,
straight
above our heads.
And most people that are probably bothering to and that have like an interest in listening to a podcast like this have probably seen The Room. Okay,
yeah, it's true.
And if they haven't seen The Room, once they watch it, there's no going back. That's it. They're done for.
See, that's got to be
all right. I gotta go see The Room.
I feel like that's got to be a bonus episode or something. But that's been reviewed to death. Well, I'd rather pick things.
Yeah,
that haven't been
that's
reviewed.
Been reviewed a lot. Yeah. I'd rather review like a Ferrell's version of The Room.
Well, I still think Brain Dead or Dead Alive or whatever you want to call it. I just think that's such a brilliant film, and that doesn't get anywhere near the attention that it deserves. And if, like, the fact that Peter Jackson directed that, I cannot believe that it doesn't get more attention. It's brilliant. It's up there as one of my favorite movies of all time. It's just so funny every time I watch it. But anyway, so that scene, they're basically trying to convince Keith and Kylie that they're getting paid through the nose, and they're showing off the counterfeit money to prove that they've made all this money. I don't know, like, isn't this whole cleaning up Joe's place, that's going to be an ongoing thing, right? So this is a very short-term scam.
Yeah, did they ever think to try the counterfeit money on Joe to pay the rent?
Maybe, no, but see, they've got principles. They're only showing off the counterfeit money. That's not like a felony or anything like that at that stage, right? They're just showing it. They're not using it.
When Keith and Kylie were like whispering, did you like the sound effects?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was like mini 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 and shibbidi bidi bidi bidi.
I loved it. I actually went through this whole episode wanting to pull out a Keith like sample, and I couldn't find anything. I was so disappointed.
He didn't have any good lines. He had a couple of good moments, but they weren't spoken moments.
Yeah, no, I was so bummed out about it because I was really like, I went through the whole thing in fast forward just to find it, and I couldn't find anything. I was like,
his best moments were physical ones.
Yeah,
let's just put it that
actually
way.
You know what I'm gonna do, because I did have all the samples from last week but I couldn't get it working, I'm gonna play this sample from last week just because I'm so annoyed that I couldn't use it.
All right, we're prepared.
Could you hear that?
Yep.
Yes.
I love this guy. He's the best.
Classic Keith.
You reminded me of last week. I don't want to watch that episode.
Yeah, that was a really funny episode. So like at that point, basically, then the Ferrells con. Like, am I missing anything? But I'm pretty sure pretty much like not much happens, and the Ferrells are trying to con Lenny.
There is a part the part where Keith goes, "This better not be fake." And then Darren's like, "Nah, it's the money that's fake."
Oh, yeah. And that scene, yeah.
Such an idiot. I love him, though.
Yeah, so, like, the next scene is, like, the Ferrells have... Well, not the Ferrells, but really just Morty and Raddus have convinced Lenny into cleaning up Joe's place. But I think, you know, obviously part of that is Lenny wants the place clean because he's going to have the party there. So he's doing it for his own interest, really. I don't know, like that. It sounds really weird, but did you notice that Raddus and Motti looked really huge, like real fat or something? I think it's the way they were sitting down.
It's really weird because obviously, I don't know if they're using the same puppets for the scenes where you can see the full body or if they're using a different version, but you can see that it's the puppets aren't really designed to sit like that. But it adds to the comedy multiple. Of it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Well,
I'm pretty sure it's multiple puppets, though.
You really think it's multiple puppets?
Yeah, I reckon it's multiple puppets. Because there's a scene where Maud is with them, I think, and then the camera pans to the right, and all of a sudden she appears from behind the couch. And I think it's a single scene, so obviously they must have used two different puppets.
But
if
but
I recall correctly, that's the order that it went in. Well, it just felt, I think it was a single scene where the camera just panned across. And it looked like it was done as a single scene. So they must have had two puppets, but maybe I'm just not remembering correctly.
Okay.
Too much alcohol.
What else happens?
But hang on. Did Radis have pink hair in every episode?
Pink hair?
Is it like, did I just notice this now? Yeah.
He has pink hair.
Yes.
I think he has like a little mohawk of pink hair.
Mohawk, yeah. Did he always have that?
Pink tips or something, right?
Well, like a mohawk, yeah.
I noticed
tips.
That. Yeah.
But was it just this episode or did he always have that?
I think he's always had it. Let's go back.
At what point did Radis shout, "What did your last slave die of?"
That was good.
I think that was at Robbie when she was asking them to help out with the party. Radis just, he comes out with these really, really full-on statements that you just wouldn't expect from a puppet in a kid's show.
Well, yeah, and look, you know, I couldn't take all the segments. I wish I could just take Radis's lines throughout the whole episode. Like, it was very weird. This is just an overarching comment. It felt at times that the guy who was doing the puppeteering, he sort of was like a bit over it or something. Because he was just sort of like, he was talking a really low voice by the end of the episode. And he was just, oh yeah, whatever. Da, da, da. And I was just like, it got really weird. Rewatch it. Just watch the last bit. I know that they're trying to make it out like they're all like, you know, and I don't want to spoil the end, but you know, some stuff happens. So they're all exhausted. But I don't know, just the way it worked, it was just really weird. I don't know, that actor in particular.
Now,
what's with the fireworks?
Yeah, well,
by the way?
This is where we're on to.
When did they make them illegal?
Yes, so I read about this. In Australia. Right? So there's two facts, right? I wasn't 100% sure where this show set. I don't think they've actually stated it so far. Now, in something later in the episode, we find out that Lenny was born in Ultimo, and that's in Sydney.
Which you lived in, right?
Yeah. Well, just good place. Right near there. I went back and I actually read the axe that came into place to ban fireworks. And I've learned about the classes of fireworks. So there's type 1 and type 2, right? So type 1 is like party poppers and sparklers. That's a type 1 firework.
Okay.
A party popper is considered a firework.
Yeah, right?
I suppose, you can buy them at Coles and
Well, I don't
stuff.
Know if you know, but there's an explosive element in it. So when you pull it...
Good save, Mike.
Yeah,
good
there is,
save,
yeah, yeah.
Mike.
There is.
But yeah, no. You can buy it at Coles and
nearly slipped in my fingers.
And then the type 2 fireworks is anything that sort of... I don't want to remember what the definition is, but it's just basically anything that explodes in a random direction.
That's not dynamite and so forth.
Yeah, so that was banned in like the 70s. So it was banned a long, long time ago. I don't know what the hell they were doing in the show. So, like, the scene is Robbie brings in a whole case of fireworks with a death, like a skull and crossbone on the front of it. Like,
if it's set in Canberra,
that
may be legal.
Yeah.
If it's set in Canberra. Somehow I doubt it because I think it's Sydney.
I think it's Sydney. But you're right. If it's Canberra, they only banned it recently, fireworks. So, I think they banned it like 4 years ago.
To our international viewers, listeners, you should probably explain how the whole Canberra thing. Canberra's
the
politicians
are.
This isn't
a visual podcast. Why have I been wearing makeup every episode?
You can take that dress off now. It's okay.
So
no one can
see. Now we're going to Australian history. Who thought that you'd hear about Australian history in a show about the Herald?
Exactly, coming from an immigrant, no less.
So it goes all the way back to Australian Federation, 1900. So in like 1900, 1901. And
was this around the time of Batman? Yeah,
well, no. He was before.
Our first prime minister was called Batman.
No, he wasn't. You know he wasn't, right?
Yeah, he was. Wasn't.
The guy who founded...
What's that the first prime minister?
The guy who...
Well, I don't know.
No.
All I remember was Batman. Who cares about the rest of the details?
What you're trying to say is John Batman. John Batman is the guy who founded Victoria. So from a Western perspective.
Yeah, thank you. First Prime Minister, John Batman. Sorry, first president. He was the first president of Australia, John Batman.
I don't even know if he was the first governor, to be perfectly honest.
Was he King Batman?
King Batman.
And you know what Melbourne was going to be called? So he discovered Melbourne, not Victoria. He discovered... And when I say discovered, obviously Western. Right?
Oh, wait. Gotham City?
No, Batmania.
Batmania.
So that was going to be the name. That's what, like, basically it was going to be called.
Honestly, that's an awesome name. That
would have been awesome.
Fantastic. Batmania. Anyway, getting back to quickly on the Federation.
Where is he?
1908.
Down south. Underneath Sydney. Above Tasmania.
No, that's where he's from. He's from Tasmania.
Batmania, the Garden State.
So quickly, 1901, Melbourne was the capital city of Australia. Then Melbourne and Sydney rivalry, so I think Chicago and New York, they couldn't decide who should be the capital, so they decide to pick a place in between. When they say in between, it's actually much closer to Sydney than it is to Melbourne, but it's really in the middle of nowhere.
Way closer, yeah.
And then they founded that city.
It's like a pimple on Sydney's backside, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. If they had a tug of war, someone was cheating.
Sorry to anybody who may be living in the ACT.
Yeah, I just can't do it. I just don't get it.
Just got to listen this down to zero now.
I don't know how they do it.
Dude, I went there and it honestly looks like the 1970s communist Eastern Europe. I kid you not.
Yeah,
it's stuck in time architecturally. It's weird.
There's a lot of stuff about it that's very sort of advanced, the way they designed the city. Like, it actually is held up because there's been, you know, more and more people going and living there. Not like a huge influx, but because a lot of federal agencies and sort of, you know, services sort of, you know, managed and administered from Canberra, they have to have a lot of people there. So the way they've structured the roads and everything like that, it's very fluid. But it's just a very boring place, to be perfectly honest. Sorry to offend people.
Did you guys like the part where Lenny's like spitting up tea?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
No, I got that later. Sorry.
Tea full of
paint. I don't care about that. I just wanted to talk about the ferals again.
Okay.
So on this,
the whole point of the entire conversation, by the way, was because fireworks in Canberra, as well as porn, is legal.
Well, no. Fireworks is not legal anymore.
It's a territory.
Fireworks isn't legal. No, they banned them.
What?
They banned them.
Since when?
Pretty recently, 2012, from memory.
Oh, that's extremely recently. Wow. But porn is still legal?
Anyway, moving on. So
I'll be back.
So Robbie...
He's going to take a trip to Canberra.
So when Robbie brings a fireworks, she's annoyed with the ferals because they're not cleaning up and they're injured or something. And she wants to understand why Moddy is like got a patch on her eye. And this is Moddy's reply. And I do not understand this. Ready?
Oh, I found a cockroach. Yeah. And it spat in my eye.
What the hell is that?
Yeah, her eye got infected. You ever had a cockroach spit in your eye? That's exactly what would happen.
And
you can't say it's not true because you've never had a cockroach spit in your eye, so you can't prove it's wrong.
It was weird.
Now,
man.
Did anybody do the research? I didn't, by the way. It's not a setup. If cockroaches can actually spit.
No, I didn't.
Missed opportunity.
I'm going to look it up.
Because that blew my mind, that bit. I was like, what a weird thing. Like, who in the writing room... I'm imagining this is a writing room. It's probably just one nutcase writing everything. A cockroach spat in my eye. Like, I don't know. That was so weird. I really liked it, though.
I loved it. There's so many random quotes in this episode that I loved. But, yeah, well, we'll get to the overall viewpoint of the episode later.
Yeah. Go on.
We might be onto something. So according to this, it says that the proteins in cockroach saliva and waste can also cause allergies and aggravate asthma. There you go. So you can get an eye allergy from cockroach. So never make out with a cockroach, I think, is a lesson to be learned here.
Can it spit, or is it?
Can it spit?
Just,
I don't know.
Is it just drooling, or is it licking someone's eye?
Licking. It doesn't have a tongue, does it?
I don't know. This requires more research.
So it's drooling, because I don't think it could spit, could it?
I don't think it spits, no. It's
just the fact that we're talking about this is awesome.
No, wait, here we go. All about cockroaches. Cockroaches can spit.
God.
Really? Well, yeah.
Mind blown.
So, like, I used to live in Melbourne. Now I live in Sydney. One of the big differences between the two, Sydney is infested with cockroaches. They're everywhere. And, like, you kind of just get used to it. Whereas in Melbourne, you almost never see them. But the one thing about cockroaches...
I've seen probably maybe three of them in my 20-plus years in Melbourne. Yeah.
No, wow. Honestly, like, I was exactly the same as you. Whereas here, it's, like, maybe once a week. And that's not... Like, I live in a good area. They're just everywhere. They're on the roads. It's disgusting. But the thing about cockroaches that I always forget, and it's only, like, 1 in 100 cockroaches that does this, they can fly. I always forget they can fly.
Yes.
And when they fly, I'm like, this is the devil creature. Like, how could they be even worse than this? There's something about them is so disgusting.
I don't know they can do that. I got home one day completely smashed. This was in Sydney as well. And there was this cockroach on the curtains. And I walked to the kitchen and I grabbed the nearest possible thing I could while completely smashed. And I start spraying it everywhere. And then the bastard jumped on the couch. I start spraying the couch. He jumped on the carpet. I start spraying the carpet. And eventually, it was a little dazed. And I took him outside. And I woke up the next morning. And there's, like, patches of stuff everywhere. And the curtains and the carpet and my mate's couches and everything. And then I look at the bottle that I left downstairs. And it was mold remover. And I'm like, oh, I better clean this stuff up. And I go to scrub it off. And the stuff doesn't come out. So I call a cleaning place up. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I spilled mold remover on the carpet and the blinds and the curtains and the couch and stuff. How can I get rid of it? And they're like, check the back of the bottle. And I'm like, yeah, what am I looking for? And they go, oh, it's the part that says it's bleach. So I bleached the curtains, I bleached the carpet, I bleached my mate's couch, all because of this stupid cockroach.
It was a cockroach as well, that's right.
Now, my long history of cockroaches, while I haven't encountered them in at home, I used to sell them as food for lizards and bearded dragons.
Pet shop, yes.
Yes. Now, you're saying about them being the devil creatures. Imagine having to clean out containers of them to find the live ones.
Find the live ones?
And
what?
Because what would happen is the last thing you want to do is have a container full of dead, live insects to feed other animals. So what we'd have to do is empty out the dead ones, keep the live ones and sell them discounted.
What?
Now, not only did we have to do that with cockroaches, we had to do it with mealworms as well.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. I quickly got desensitized to that task, but it was never a fun one.
Yeah, I don't know. Cockroaches, that's one thing in particular. I think I actually hate them more than spiders, to be honest. Something about them is so disgusting. Anyway.
Have you seen
they're relatively cleanish, aren't they?
What?
I thought they were relatively cleanish.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things like that, right? Where, like, it's the difference between, you know, what you think about it and how your gut reaction is, right? So, anyway.
Like Daddy Long Legs, you should always keep them around because they kill other spiders.
Now I'm fine with them. Like, I don't know if they kill other spiders. But
awesome,
anyway,
man.
Moving on.
They're my spider bros. They do. They actually do. They even kill Black Widow slash Redbacks.
Okay.
That's why it's always good to have them around.
We have one next to our bed. And no joke, it's called Henry. That's the name that we've given this.
Keep Henry around. He's a spider bro.
Now, monkey boy, do you want some nightmare fuel? Google giant cockroaches.
No.
Oh, God, no.
I've seen this.
Nope. Back to the show.
Back to the show. Darren struggles to keep this a secret from Lenny. So Mixie's constantly sort of like prepping him and he's constantly wanting to give it away. And Lenny, who knows... there's a surprise party coming, is constantly trying to cut him off before he ruins it for everyone. So they all know that Lenny knows as well. So there's a bit of interplay there. Nothing really much happens. I don't know. Did you guys pick up anything there?
No.
No, I just... Did we get... Is this the point where Modigliana mounts Joe?
No, that's coming up. That's coming up. I've actually got some samples from that. I've done some research.
That was awesome.
This is my choice research.
That sounds like I'm making that up for emphasis, but no.
That's actually what happened. Yeah.
Well, before this happened, though, it was the return of something that I was excited about. Robbie, I was just tuning your guitar for tonight. The guitar's back. I'm telling you, she plays this guitar.
Yes.
I'll keep bringing it up until we talk to her.
you're just playing that one note, aren't you?
I don't know. I feel like she plays that guitar. One thing I really found funny, and this is kind of now. Oh no, sorry. One thing that I should say is that T-bit, you know, where they prepare Lenny. So this is Mixie and Darren. They prepare him a cup of tea, and then they start talking about, oh no, you know, what about that open paint can that we put in a coffee cup or something like that? And he's been drinking it. he took like 5 seconds to realize it was paint. He was drinking it just because they said it's tea. I don't know. I just thought it was so stupid that bit.
When he spat the paint out, to me, he looked like Derek Zoolander.
Yeah.
When he's wearing the blue lipstick.
Yeah, that's true.
I just don't get it though, because he's so smart, yet he's constantly just made out to be this complete doofus.
Yeah, he was so stupid in that section.
It's weird. Yeah.
That was so dumb.
This whole show doesn't make sense.
That's true.
It's meant to play up on those stereotypes a bit, which I think is good, because if he was, you know, if he picked up on everything because he was smart, you wouldn't have these little character bits that I think it shows when you got characters that have abilities and, you know, what they can do, and then they have flaws like this.
That's true.
You know, they're dim-witted, but they're intelligent. So, you know,
yeah.
I think it's interesting.
So there's three samples that I have, like, that I'll play. They're not in a row, but where it's just Joe... what do they call it? Audibles? Where it's like, you know, reacting or laughing or stuff like that.
Yeah.
I love this character. He's now my favorite character. So the first, because...
he's awesome.
He's talking about Moddy. So this is the whole Moddy scene, which is like probably the funniest part of the episode. So the first bit is just him laughing, which I love.
Anyway.
I just want that on like a soundboard where I can just play that whenever I want. So
is this the part where he's is this with the band?
That's it, with the girls.
Yep. I was to me, I was half expecting one of the, you know, one of the members of Frente to come out. Now if Mike probably doesn't know who Frente are, but Frente are kind of like the quintessential early to mid 90s Australian alternative hippie kind of rock, indie rock. So they looked exactly like Frente.
Yeah.
So actually, a pretty decent.
And the background there is that Robbie is trying to prevent Joe from going back to his place because Joe has come back early and they're hosting the party at Joe's place and he's unaware of that happening. So Robbie's trying to stall him and getting the band members to talk to him and do all that stuff. So then Robbie asks Moddy to, you know, stall Joe. So that leads into this scene where, I don't know about you guys, but does it seem like Moddy is obsessed about Joe now? Like almost like Kermit the Frog and Miss Cheeky?
She is. Oh, yeah, full on. She wants him bad.
Yeah.
Well, she's faking it, but
okay,
of course.
And
Do you have a sample of what she says?
I have to play this.
This is one of my favorite parts.
I did a bit of research. I probably spent about an hour looking into this, right? And there are reasons.
Wait. Because I know what you researched, did you actually spend an hour researching this, or was most of the time spent looking at?
Well, let's play this out.
Certain people. Have I ever told you about the time I went to the Riviera? I was mistaken for a model. Well, not mistaken exactly. Look, I gotta go. There was a guy there with a Polaroid. He said I looked like Earl MacPherson's sister.
Her little sister, that is.
So yeah, I did spend some time looking at Elmo first.
That's a euphemism, right?
Euphemism.
I'm not going to say of what because it's pretty obvious.
Oh man, look, I actually have included this because I don't actually understand this fully.
It's El McPherson's pussy.
No! What are you
totally
talking about?
Is. It totally is!
No. What are you talking about?
Joke! I reckon that's a joke.
Oh my god.
No!
No.
Okay, what is it then? What is it then?
Wow.
She's a cat. AKA pussy. And then she goes, El McPherson's little sister. Get it? Her little
no
sister.
No one calls it that. Who calls it her little sister?
I don't know. Just
Mike does.
Oh my god. That's super disturbing. Imagine if a girl
said,
oh,
fine.
You know,
what did your 1 hour of research uncover? What are your 1 hour of research uncover that beats this?
I want to get Swinney's take on this. Like, what did you think this all was?
Look, I didn't know what to think when it happened because it was so bizarre, but it reminded me of that whole story of, you know, a model trying to make it big and having some really dodgy, like, you know, agent try to, you know, take advantage of it. And it reminded me of, have you guys ever seen the movie Hard Candy?
Yeah. It's not bad. I didn't really like it that much, but it was okay.
Oh, I thought it was good, but it's essentially about a photographer who, let's just say, takes advantage of his prospective models. Now, I think that's kind of a cliche. That's a cliche. Yeah, there's a big twist, but I don't think that's obviously what they're insinuating here. But I think it's just that whole cliche of, you know, someone trying to make it big. They go to Hollywood or they go to Paris, you know, that Hollywood to be an actress or Paris to be a model. And they get taken advantage of people. And I think that's what it's pretty much saying.
Yeah, yeah. So, but on the point...
Nah, it's all McPherson's vagina.
No. Well, that's definitely not right. That's definitely not right. So, okay, Elle McPherson. She's probably the most famous Australian model. I don't know, even maybe Miranda Kerr is now more famous. No, I don't know.
I would say that Elle McPherson's still probably the most famous Australian model.
Yeah,
You probably have to say that because at one point... She was pretty much globally recognized. And it was at the time of the show, really. It was like, you know, mid-90s, early 90s. She was globally recognized as the best-looking chick in the world.
Yeah,
so.
It was her... It was basically Elle McPherson, Cindy Crawford, and Naomi Campbell. They were like the big kind of supermodels.
The big three.
So. We may be biased, though, because we grew up in that era as horny 15-year-olds.
No. She was, like, in America. She was huge. She was, like... pretty much on par with Cindy Crawford at that time. So, like,
yeah.
I'll just take it literally, like her little sister, right? Because the way you got to watch the scene, but basically Moddy turns to the camera and is like, her little sister, right? So I'm like kind of taking it literally. And I'm like, okay, I know that Elle McPherson has at least one sister. So, and that's Mimi McPherson. Now, Mimi McPherson.
Yeah, she made some great home movies.
Yeah, and it was around that time as well. Or, like, maybe a little bit before then. So she made some home movies in the style of, like, an early precursor to Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton. So those kind of
home movies. Hey, so I was kind of
close. No, because she said little sister. So if I said little sister, just say if I said to you guys, oh, you know, I've got to say this carefully.
Yeah, not like Mike.
I know, especially to Mike. If I talked about my little sister,
sex.
If
hey, I've got to give you credit, Mike. You've restrained in this segment. Let me just say
we have to edit the other bits out. But if I said little sister, what's the age range if I was talking about my little sister?
Well, anything that's like less than 9 months.
What?
From when you were born. What? Really?
Alright, good.
Yeah. Good. Like if I had a little sister. But basically, unless I was a twin and she was born straight after me, anything counts.
That's insane. If I was talking to someone that I just met and I started saying, oh, my little sister, that would not think, like, you know.
Yeah, I suppose there's a certain age limit. Like if you're 30 and she's 29.
Yeah, you wouldn't say little sister.
But hang on. Well, what if you had like two older sisters and one younger sister?
Yeah, but you'd say you younger could sister. Say
my little sister.
No, you'd say younger sister. So you would never say little sister. Little sister is like...
What if you're an immigrant like me and you don't use the language properly?
So look, I think...
And like younger, smaller, it's all the same thing,
I
really.
I think little sister has to refer to people. Like 15 and younger. Something like that, ballpark.
Okay.
So anyway, I did some research and I found that Mimi McPherson was 27 at the time that the show was filmed. So I don't think that's her. But what I did find is that Elle McPherson had a younger sister, like even younger than her. Oh. And she was 12 at the time this show was filmed, right? Oh. And I was like, when I was digging around for like a photo or something like that, and I was like, oh.
You're a creepy stalker, by the way.
It's Googling, man. It's research. I was like, oh my God, what is this show saying? I saw the photo. So Mimi McPherson's a very good looking woman, and Elle McPherson obviously as well. This girl, and you know, she's like 30 something now, right?
Can you perhaps like, put a link
said,
of the 30-year-old version on the chat, please?
I gotta find it. I don't have it on hand.
For science purposes.
If you have like Elle McPherson, Mimi McPherson's great looking. Like if someone just saw her at a club or something, people would be like, oh, she's 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10. And then you have this girl, like, oh, you know. I'm like, I think that's what the show's saying. That, you know, the younger sister is the ugly one. If that's true, that's terrible.
Oh, wow, low blow. That's terrible if that's true. Well, that's worse than my conspiracy theory.
I can't think
theory.
Of what else it would be.
Thermite, man. It's thermite.
I don't know about you guys, but I prefer Daniel McPherson.
I didn't even know who that
is. He was actually pretty good looking for a guy.
Oh, yeah. God, you idiot.
Hey, what? I'm fully straight, but I can still appreciate a guy. If he's good looking, he's good looking. I'm going to admit it.
True. Hey, man, he was good on Neighbours and Dancing with the Stars.
That's true.
And good The Bill.
Guy. Runs in the
he
family.
Was on the Bill. He was on the Bill. That's that was massive.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I never liked
him. Is that the one with the restaurants where like people order food and they get a bill?
That's awesome.
I've never seen it.
Nah, legitimately, do you know? You know the Bill.
I know many shaking. Bills.
I don't legitimately know. I don't know bill. The television show The Bill.
Is it with a guy named Bill? Like The Bill?
I think it's about restaurants. The Bill.
Now, legitimately, you do you not know the show. Like, no, I'm not having a go at you.
If I was to like really dig the recesses of my brain, which I hate doing,
God,
trust me.
God help the world.
Is it about police? Is it like a police show?
Bing.
Yeah,
woo!
It is.
Why do I win, Eddie?
It's not that I was having a go at you. I don't think I've ever met anybody that I didn't think wouldn't know that show. You've just blown my mind. You've introduced me to a whole new world
of
ignorance.
See what else I can do.
You've blown my mind in how you constructed what you just said. What did you say? You said, I don't think I've met a person that didn't know if they weren't sure. Nah.
Listen back to the show.
Look, The Bill is very British, though. So I think a lot of people wouldn't know. Like, American audience wouldn't know what The Bill is. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, 5% of Americans know what The Bill is. Like, I don't think it would be more than that.
All right, just break my heart, lucky boy, okay?
I never liked
The Bill. Just move on. Let's get back. It was great.
We have a montage of Raddus trying to...
Awesome restaurants.
We have a montage of Raddus trying to prevent Lenny from leaving the shed. Do you guys remember that where he's like bringing out board game after board game? It's like, do you want to play this?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
But the thing about it was the violence that he was throwing away these games. It was incredible. He's just like, oh, do you want to play checkers? No. And he's like, rah! Just smashes it everywhere. It was crazy.
Now, he pulls out Mousetrap, which is pretty good. And I like he goes like... Never liked that game. It's cliche. It's an easy joke, but it just works.
It really does. It does. I know. I agree. This is leading up to another one of my favorite Joe audibles. I'll play this and can you describe what it is that he's doing? Right. So like if I'm, you know, laughing, you go, I'm laughing. So what is he doing here?
I've done my best.
I'll play it again.
I've done my best.
What would you
I'm going to stay out of this one, given my previous comments.
Didn't he? This is where he put up his hands in the middle of like those band girls and goes, I've done my best. You can tell. Someone needs to make like a dubstep remix of that. No, you can tell that this guy, was it Mig?
Yeah, Mig. Oh, M-I-G. That's what he calls himself now.
You can tell that this guy, in the way that he acts and the way that he performs, he was made for a career on the stage. He has those little quirks down pat, and you can just tell at this point. If he didn't know he had a career on stage, then he didn't know what he had. So.
In parentheses, if you don't know that you should be a journalist, then you don't know what you have. I mean, seriously, Swinny, I've read your stuff. It's so good.
Anyway, going back to the show.
I read it before I go to sleep.
So, did you...
Can I come to your open mic night and recite my mic poetry?
Oh, you missed an opportunity. You should have said, can I open your open mic night mic? I can't believe you didn't say that. You're a terrible writer.
Only if you come dressed as a knight. Seriously,
can I open your open mic night as a knight, Mike?
I'm not good under pressure.
Anyway, so did you guys notice how Robbie, she was holding Mixie in this scene where she's talking to Joe, and it's kind of like she can't like move to the side, so she has to like shuffle along when Joe's walking.
Yeah, I saw that.
Man, I wanted to make a gif out of that. I was just like, that looks so insane. Yeah. And she's just like now, strafing. She's strafing.
In this,
anyway, go on. Sorry, I got so
she's
excited.
Strafe jumping. In this scene.
Strafe jumping.
In this scene, rocket jumping with the fireworks. In this scene, Mixie's trying to stop Joe. Yep. She's like, "You can't!" And Joe goes, "I can!" Back at her.
He's the best.
He's awesome. I could break
his bits, and they're awesome. I love it. So yeah, Robbie then is forced to say to Joe that they've got a welcome home party. So like, even up to this point, I didn't kind of realize that Joe had gone away for a period of time. It's not that
he was supposed to be gone for the weekend, I thought, and that's when the Ferrells were supposed to clean his place up.
Oh, really? I thought he went away for longer.
But he came home early.
So why did he think there's a welcome party?
Just the weekend. Well, exactly.
It makes no sense.
Again, the show doesn't make any sense. Wow, what a surprise.
Why can't Robbie... Oh, I guess it makes sense. I was about to say, why can't Robbie have the party at their place? But then I guess Lenny's going to be there, so that kind of scraps that idea.
So, wait, Joe was thinking that...
But who holds a party? Yeah. Sorry, who holds a party in somebody's house when they're away?
Trust me, a lot of people do that, and they're feral, so...
Yeah.
Feral. Now I don't blame Joe for bricking their front door in their last episode. the episode before.
They had it coming. I hit him back first.
Breaking the whole. So yeah, and we see that Radis is actually, there's a little scene, and he's just like so evil in this episode, how he says they're just going along with it so they can have a free party. So this is when they're talking over the party, and I can't remember who Radis was talking to. I think Mixie at the time, or maybe Darren, can't remember. But yeah, he's just saying, oh, we're only doing this to get along with the party, and he's trying to explain how, you know, they've got to switch the party from being for Lenny as a birthday party and then for Joe as a welcome home. So there's a song. And this increased the rating of this show for me by at least a point or maybe two. This song is incredible. I'm going to play it in full. And please take note of how the beatboxing is done and the sounds from the beatboxing. So I'll play it now.
On this day 19 years ago, a baby was born in Baltimore. Oh, God. His name was Leonard, he was once my dude. He was a baby with attitude. His mom's a brother and his father went. This dangerous world he left.
Wanna be groovy. He's the coolest baby you could ever meet. Yeah.
So then, yeah.
Now, I'm waiting for the versus Jason Nevins remix.
That's true, actually. You could have a trap version of it. But the thing that kills me is when it's, you know, how Darren's doing the woof, 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 and then you hear a cat. That thing is so funny. That killed me, though.
You know what? I liked it, but I don't know. I think they could have made it funny. Now, I don't know how funnier. I don't know how, but it just didn't. I was expecting a really funny lyric, and it just seemed a little too
dramatic. Oh, yeah, I agree. The lyrics are terrible.
I'm at the point where, I guess, six episodes in, and I'm expecting a little more from these writers because they've shown that they can do better things.
Yeah, no, I agree.
To be fair, you were a musician at one stage. You were a singer as part of a band, and I mean a proper band, not a solo with a flute. So...
Yeah,
your standards are a little higher than ours.
My standards for hip hop MCs are a little higher because I was a total dope MC.
Mixed Master Mike.
Hey, your band was cool. I liked your band.
Mixed Master Mike.
Open Mic Night. Wow. Open Mic or the Mixed Master Mike.
Mixed Master Mike at the open night of the Mike's Open Night Mike. God, I screwed that up.
You might want to try that again.
So then, yeah, what we see is that they're flipping in between and out of like trying to convince Lenny that it's his birthday party that they're doing it all for, and Joey that it's his welcome home. What did you guys? You remember the bit where Radis is pretending to be American and trying to keep Joe on the phone? What did you think of that?
Yeah,
very convincing.
Joe's been convinced by less than this before.
That's true. He's on top of it. I got the sample, but it's a bit long. But...
He's getting smarter.
Is he learning? Is he a learning computer?
Yeah, I don't know.
Stop all the downloads.
It's just the one bit where Radis calls it Australia or something like that. You know, he doesn't say Australia. He says
Australia. What does Australians call it? I know it's Melbourne or Melbourne.
Did you say what do Australians call us?
No, sorry, what do people overseas call us?
Australians.
Hey, I'm going to be wrong. This is recorded. The truth will come out if I'm wrong or you're wrong.
No, you're probably right. Come on, the number of bets I made that I lost against you guys because I have a memory of a goldfish.
Hey, I don't have a good
what are we talking about?
Past history of things being recorded, me saying they were one way and Monkey Boy saying that they were another. if Monkey Boy remembers what I'm talking about.
It's funny because between me and Monkey Boy, I think I've won most times, including the infamous Funky Town. I think we can all remember that one.
I think I'm just a generous
person. No, I think I did. So it's funny, in this little trio
Funky
of ours...
Funky Town was a washout. That was a washout. Yeah. Okay.
No, that was washout. That was like, I full-on won that.
No, because that's not the original Funky Town.
Yes, it was!
Let's not get into this.
That's Pseudo-Echo's version of Funky Town.
Doesn't matter. The song we were playing was Funky Town.
I love that song.
It just makes me think of Bryan Cranston on the roller skates and Malcolm
Rock
in the middle.
You know what? Like maybe a few months ago, I was actually trying to find that episode because Malcolm in the Middle is now, I think, on Netflix. So I wanted to watch that episode in full, and I couldn't find what it was. And I was like searching for roller skate on like Google, Malcolm in the Middle. Could never figure out that episode. So someone like tweet us or email us or something. On imaginary Twitter handles and emails that we don't have.
Domains we don't own yet.
So, like, Keith is in this episode, but he doesn't really do much. But there's an awesome scene where Joe's walking through and he gets caught up in the pulley system that they have, and Keith gets pulleyed up. And then you can see he's, like, his budgie smugglers in full glory.
He pulleyed up. You're putting it a bit lightly. He pretty much gets hung. It looks like he's actually being pulled up by, like, maybe not his neck, but, like, by his head. Because I looked at it and I was trying to look if it was being pulled up by his, like, his leg upside down, which is what they normally do when someone gets pulled up on a rope.
Yeah,
they're like,
true.
Oh, it's a trap. I'm getting put on my leg.
It's a trap.
No, they just yank him up by, like, his head or his arm or something.
It's true. And
no, I...
Hey, is it also true that koalas have chlamydia? Like, heaps of them?
I mean, that's recent. This is pre-chlamydia.
Okay, so you reckon this was...
But yeah, at the moment, yeah.
Post... Oh, this is... Wow. Okay.
Keith, I hope Keith is wearing protection.
Yeah, he's a pretty stand-up guy. Oh yeah.
Before this, before this part, the only kind of thing that, other than the part early that Keith said that made me laugh was before this whole thing, they had to keep swapping the sign back and forth. You know. Joe's welcome back, Leonard's birthday, blah, 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 blah. Now, Keith's reaction to every time they had to swap the sign, I thought was really funny. And the last one before he gets taken up, Kylie's like, oh, we've got to swap the sign again. He's like, oh, no. like, it's such a physical strain on him that it's actually, like, bringing him down to the point where he's like, oh no.
It's true. I know, it's like the end of the
sign.
World.
It's just a sign. Oh god.
All right, because we're right at the last bit of the episode. So basically, we didn't really even explain what happened. So during the stupid beatbox song, Mixie accidentally set off the fireworks, which kind of, like, you know, blew up this big box of fireworks. And then Joey discovered that, you know, it wasn't a party for him, it was really a party for Lenny. Have we missed anything in the episode that you guys want to comment on? Because it's, like, basically the end of the episode up to this point.
No.
Well, no, just the final scene.
So you have to indulge me, because I want to play Joe's speech in full, because I have a question at the end of it, all right?
Is that all the way up until his final part?
No, I've separated that final part. That's a special
okay,
part.
All right, then play the speech then. Play the speech.
Not only have you not done the chores... But you've ruined my house, made me a laughing stock, broke every single piece of furniture that I own, destroyed all my CDs, and that was just before the police came. If you didn't all owe me a fortune already, I'd kick you all out right now!
So, what is the logic there? They owe him a lot of money, so he's going to keep them around?
Yeah, well,
I think that's fair.
Yeah, that makes logical sense. Well, how else is he going to get the money back? It's like if someone owes you money, you're not going to kill them because they're not going to give you the money back.
Killing them,
you're going to make them work for you.
Sorry, is that an option to kill somebody?
I thought it was.
No, I like how your mind goes.
This is Australia.
Someone owes me money. Kill them or don't kill them. No, I'm not going to kill them because I owe them.
I learned this from all the mobster films I've watched, and in every single case, they're always like, "No, don't kill him." Don't kill him. Cut off his finger or something. Don't kill him. Because how is he going to pay the money back if he's dead?
Yeah, but it's not about killing
him.
It's not a binary option between killing them
and not killing
him.
Yeah, but like kicking them out. He's not going to get the money back if he kicks them out. But if he keeps them there, at least they can work for the money.
But he's just going to lose more money.
Yeah,
he's going to lose more money.
Well, he doesn't realize
you're
that
thinking
yet. It's
too
only episode
six. You're thinking too logically, Monkey Boy.
Well,
okay.
I found
that
it
this
made
makes
no sense.
Perfect sense in Joe's mindset, I think.
So, okay, and now this is leading in. So he's very frustrated at this point. Okay.
Just before the final part, which is probably the best part of the episode,
true.
To be honest, is when just before Joe's tirade there, they're all waking up. Now, I don't know about you guys, but did a lot more happen in the episode that we didn't see? Or was this like a quick cut? Because
it was
at night. No, but it was at night and now it's day.
Well, did they get knocked unconscious?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was like a big explosion.
That was my initial. Yeah, that
was
what I
thought. Well, that's
a thing. But no, they couldn't have because the cops arrived and they talked about cops coming and stuff.
It sounds like there's a lot of like missing stuff, kind of like a hangover thing where there's a lot of stuff that happened we don't know.
I think that's it.
And Robbie looks really disheveled and is like...
What are you saying?
What are you saying?
I'm gonna put it bluntly here. She's got sex hair.
Oh.
Sex hair. Well, the bird.
Hang on, Joe wasn't in the room.
Oh, the friend zone.
My question.
Go.
Oh, yes.
Go.
Take this home.
Did Leonard score a touchdown by escaping the friend zone?
Touchdown!
I don't know, maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. She had her head resting on his shoulder.
Yeah, you're right.
Just really, really bizarre.
Look, I think right. Much like Elle McPherson's vagina, we're reading too much into this.
No one.
That's not to say I don't want to read into Elle McPherson's
vagina,
but. I was
vagina, just like,
but...
what are you talking about?
Okay.
Thermite, man, it was thermite.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Like, you know what? We have to keep an eye on it for next week to see what happens.
Yes.
All right. So this is...
So I told you I'd come back to that point. I don't feel so bad for him if that happens.
This is the best part of the whole episode. Like, out of the entire show, if I was to make one gif, it would be of this. I actually think this would go viral.
Oh, it was brilliant.
I reckon it would go viral the way he acts in it. It's insane. All right, so I'm going to play it.
Play it?
The best.
I think we can safely say Robbie did not do it with Joe.
The best part is that awesome scream, but his mannerisms
insane.
Where he's like leaning back with his arms stretched out and like moving back
and the way
forth.
It zooms in as well.
And it's it's almost like Star Wars Episode 3, the end, with Darth Vader going, no!
No, but it was like almost like anime or something, the style of it, you know what I mean? Like, if you...
Exaggerated, yeah.
Like,
Yeah, if you took that scene and then just, like, washed out the background and put, like, bright colors and everything, it'd be perfect.
And some...
It would look really like it.
Japanese subtitles.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you could. I reckon you could make a viral video, as you said, out of that, similar to, like, Epic Sax Guy, or...
Yeah, yes. No, that's what I thought.
Or Ravi Drums from the Nintendo E3 conference, where he's playing, like, the Wii Music awesome. Drums.
Can you do it and put link it up with this, please?
Yeah, I'll see. I'll
just a GIF that loops.
I don't really know how to make them, so I'll figure
it out. It's called
GIF,
not GIF. I don't care what.
I've got a better thing for people. Look up Epic Sax Guy 10 hours and watch the whole thing.
I just like to watch the whole thing. Okay, so have we.
Now it's stuck in my head. God damn it.
Are there any credits this week, Credit Man?
I have some credit stuff, but I'm going to let Swinny go first.
Okay.
Wow, two
now,
credits this week. Go on.
Boom.
Trust me.
No. Before we get into anything, trust me, there's not much at all. Hmm. Do we want to mention the little weird things that happened in the actual credits?
Go on. What weird things?
Now, normally with past episodes, they have something running in the background of the credits. Now, this episode was a bit different where they had just like a purple moving background. And then they had quick skits of the ferals, I guess, trying to find a new home. Oh. Now, one was Medicaliana climbs up a tree.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Keith's tree, and he just looks at her and shakes his head, which was awesome.
I didn't see that. I got to watch this again.
Keith disapproves or something. Then something weird with Radis in a pipe that couldn't tell what was going on. It was really quick, hard to see because the quality was a bit bad as well. And then Mixie climbing up a tree. And then the last part is Darren like eating, I don't know, like I keep saying that Darren's eating shit. I use shit a lot in these episodes, but it looks like he's eating something because there's like flies around.
And that's when he burps,
it's really bad. And
it's just like running.
He just looks at the camera and burps, and it's a really... That's the weirdest
And then the ABC,
eats a lot of
the
trash,
ABC right? logo comes out or, like, pops out at that stage, doesn't it, when he burps? It's very weird.
Like, we're on top of the trash?
No.
Oh, he burps it out. That's funny.
Real big, like... Yeah. It's like an ECU, extreme close-up. Like, it's right on his face. It's very weird. Yeah, that ending was very weird, actually. You're right.
I don't actually have really anything interesting, but I'll tell you what I was trying to find out.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the people, the cameo people in this episode. So you had the two band girls.
Yep.
And you had Crystal.
Yes.
Now,
Crystal's the one I looked up as well.
Yeah. Maybe I'll let you look go into Crystal. I had no idea who Crystal was. So when we started recording tonight, when you said it was Crystal on the TV, I'm like, that's who Crystal was? My mind is blown. I'm thinking, do I have to watch this whole episode again just to find out who Crystal was?
Because she's only mentioned
anyway,
once.
Okay.
Yes. So, okay. So the band girls, you had, I think, Jenny Apostolou. She's been on things like Water Rats, High, Home and Away. Just pretty much a veritable mix of Australian, you know, drama. And you had the blonde band girl where on her IMDb credit, she has the Ferrells.
And that's it?
That's it.
Hey, that's it. All you need, one baby. Thing. That's all you need.
Seriously, if that's all I did thing, in my life, I'd be happy.
It's true.
I'd die
no speaking
man.
Credit, but her name is Pepper Rose and... Damn, that's
Pepper
awesome.
Rose.
That's a really cool
that's
name.
That's an awesome
Pepper
name.
Pepper Rose.
Pepper Rose.
Yeah.
Like Pep, like spelled like Pepper the
Pig. No way.
Oh, Pepper Rose. Mad. That's a really cool name.
That's why it's...
Did you just nod?
Yeah, I did. That doesn't make it good. That doesn't make it good.
How appropriate.
When it's like Pepper, like Pepper the Pig. She's like, damn you, Pepper the Pig.
No. Exactly. Pepper the Pig isn't that old, I guess. I don't know.
Oh,
how old
yeah.
It is,
it's like 3 years, 5 years.
Anyway, I'll let you talk about Crystal. Wow. And I say Crystal because the show had her name in quotation marks, and that baffled me when I was trying to find out who it was.
So, Mike,
what did you find?
Okay,
did you find about Crystal?
I really don't have much to say other than Crystal was voiced by Heather Mitchell. Which you can look up. I actually didn't recognize her name, but I recognized
her
face.
You can look up.
Went.
You can do the work.
Let me explain what her face looks
podcast,
like
so
in
you
a podcast.
Look up facts about the Ferrells.
Let's explain what her face looks like.
It's hard for me to explain what her face looks like. You're going to have to look it up.
Oh, well.
I mean, I can go and I recognize her face
so,
when I looked her up. I didn't recognize the name. So I've seen her in stuff before. Now, she was in Muriel's Wedding, which I think is the first film I saw that she was in. And then a lot of stuff that I had no idea about.
I just love the sentence.
Like on the beach with what I think is Robert Redford. No, maybe it isn't. I don't know. Some other, like, I don't know. I don't even recognize those people. But, going back to a previous episode, she was also in The Great Gatsby.
Really? Shit.
And I believe
now
we spoke about that in an earlier episode, didn't we?
Yes. Brian Rooney plays Leonard was in
yep.
The Great Gatsby.
Maybe
now,
they're together.
My question is...
Oh, yeah, maybe. Let's find out. Heather Mitchell.
Well, that's why they had that connection through
yeah.
the TV, you know?
Yeah.
My question is, did every bloody Australian actor work on The Great Gatsby?
So.
Because I think that's
I think
what we're
so.
Getting to at the moment. I mean, I used to work at an educational institution, and one of our students that we profiled as, you know, to promote the courses, worked on The Great Gatsby. Did every person in Australian film work on that movie? That's what
23 million
I worked
credits.
On The Great Gatsby. No, I worked on The Great Gatsby. Apparently, she's Daisy's mother. Now, I haven't actually seen The Great Gatsby yet. I admit to that,
Daisy's
and I really
mother.
Want to see it. I don't know who Daisy is, but it's Daisy's mother.
Okay.
Now, you know what's great about this is that we can say that there's 2 degrees of separation between Leonard and Leonardo DiCaprio.
True. True.
2 degrees. Stitch that, Kevin Bacon.
He's the new Kevin Bacon, basically.
Lenny Brian Rooney. Well, Brian Rooney's been in a lot, so chances are he's probably mixed it up with in the past with people like Guy Pearce and anybody that was on a
That's
lot
true.
Of Australian dramas.
Was he in Dark City? I feel like he was in Dark City.
Oh.
A lot of Australian actors in that movie as well.
Maybe.
Anyway. Yeah. So is there anything else in the episode that you guys wanted to cover?
No, just the part where they were saying, yes, some people had a great time at the party, and then Redis goes, yeah, the ones who didn't come.
I don't remember that.
Such a low point.
I was expecting you to take something else away from that statement, Mike, but you've proven me wrong. You're a good.
I have redeemed myself.
You're a reformed man now.
Right. L. McPherson's vagina.
Oh, God. We're going to get an explicit tag pretty soon. Anyway.
I know what's going in the episode summary on the homepage now. Just three words.
That's the whole summary. The traffic, the Google traffic will go through the roof.
Oh, no. We'll have all that maybe organic referrals from Tumblr.
Oh, yeah, Tumblr. It's going to go Tumblr crazy. All right, so let's, in the reviews, let's start with Mike. So how many out of 10 would you give this? How many L. McPherson's out of Little Sisters out of 10 would you give this?
Wait.
Hmm? Spoiler alert. 6.
Yes, I give this 6 L. McPherson's Little Sisters.
I already had it written down, a 6. I have my rating and your rating
savant.
Written down.
How did you know? Get out of my head.
How
about you, Swinney? What would you give it?
Other than a couple of funny lines, I couldn't give this above a 5. It's pretty stock standard.
Yeah, so. I had it as a 4 until the laugh at the end. Joe's laugh tipped it up to a 5, so I gave it a 5 as well.
Now, if you crop the episode to only be about 30 seconds long and it was all Joe's monologue and the scream, I'd give it a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
The director's cut.
Can we just do... Sorry, go.
No, I just, like, with this episode, I think, like, there's some funny stuff in there. It's definitely not the worst episode, but I just feel like it was lacking in some of its subplots. Like, I feel like they could have added a lot to it, but, you know, it's the way these things go.
It wasn't as rich subplot-wise as some of the other ones.
Yeah, they weren't as nice
the way
funny bits.
They intertwined it. And
I think we got spoiled by the last episode with all these intermingling storylines where it was almost like, you know, Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
style.
That's true.
You got Darren training Flea.
Yeah, that's true.
That was
the last episode. All right, I guess we'll sign off.
Darren.
I guess we'll sign off for this week.
Darren.
All right, let's sign off for this week. So next week is episode 7, 15 Seconds of Fame. Arrivederci.
Adios.
Ciao.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.